Yo! No, I can't say that so bad. So loud. I think I might have woken up my neighbor.
You're going to get a knock on the door.
Okay, hang on, hang on. Sorry. Yo! What is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. Nate, was that too soft this time?
Yeah, that was a little soft. So I think we should have ridden with the first take.
Dude, okay. So if I'm being honest, guys, I started this maybe 2 minutes ago, and I probably screamed, yo, and I got scared. I woke up a neighbor, so we had to run it back. So obviously, as you can tell, welcome back. Nate is joining me. It's just the two blondies again. John... he's not on vacation anymore, but he just couldn't find the time to make it back to the podcast he helped start. But that's okay. Nate, is your back hurting? Because I'm pretty sore, and I didn't work out today.
My back is always sore and hurting. So, yeah, there's nothing new for me there. But, no, we can get through this one, just the two of us again. It's always fun catching up with you, but we certainly do miss John. He's a busy man. We know that, though.
No, he's not. He's lying.
He's just playing 2K.
He's just playing some 2K. No, not actually. I know he's busy, but John, we miss you. Do you think John's been listening?
Of course John's been listening. John's a chump through and through. He's a real one. He's an OG. And obviously, you know, he defers to us on fantasy football knowledge, obviously. So,
John, if you're listening to this, I need you to text me and let me know you are, because your team sucks.
It doesn't really.
It doesn't really. I just wanted to get a reaction out of him. So, yes, we're back. Another week. Another undefeated streak continues for one of the co-hosts. I'm referring to myself. And as much anticipation as it is, I also play Nate this week. So it's going to be a very exciting weekend.
You know what? It is a good thing that we're both going to be traveling and busy and not trash talking each other, because these matchups are too stressful for me when I have to face up against you.
You know, and ever since, what was it, like 2020?
Yeah.
2021, maybe? Yeah. Ever since our championship battle, I'm not going to lie, I kind of circle our matchups every year.
Yeah. So I know. I feel like we've split the matchups over the years. I feel like
we do.
It's always kind of trade off. I would love to get you this week. I really need it too after dropping one last week.
Wait, who'd you lose to? Oh, you lost to Joe.
I lost to Joe, one of the two winless teams in our league, who did have Josh Allen. He had somebody else. I mean, he had Terry McLaurin that probably had his best game of the season so far.
He had the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yes, that was the one. Yeah, two touchdowns, I think, for the Cowboys.
I thought about trading for them.
It's a positional advantage.
That seems stupid, though. But, yeah, I thought about trading him. So, yeah, it'll be exciting. We'll see how it goes. I'm very curious. So, let's move on. Nate, I'm just going to pass to you really early, because you said you have a question for me, which scares me.
Yep. I think you're going to be able to get this one. It's kind of a two-part question, but I only have the first part written down, so we're just going to go with that first. But this was brought up by somebody that I work with today, who is perusing Twitter X, and came across this little tidbit of information. But so, since 2018, there are only four quarterbacks that are starting for the same team that they were on for week one of 2018. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, Yes.
Can you name those four quarterbacks?
So, question, does that count if somebody was hurt and not suited up week one?
No, I'm gonna say no. I think they started week one.
Okay. Mahomes,
Yep.
Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Okay, those were the two like slam dunk ones I knew. Since 2018, only four. Okay, let's go back. So we were in college.
This would have been Mahomes' first year starting.
Oh my gosh, I was gonna say that's even older than like the Allens and Herberts, Burrows, Tuas, and all of them. So wait, you said they're still the starter now?
They're still the starter for the same team that they were on in 2018. So the other part of the question was there are 11 starting quarterbacks that started in 2018 that are still a starter today in the NFL. There are
That's
11
only
of them.
11.
Only 11
Wow.
that are still starting.
Okay. I think
But
that one might be easier. Okay.
only four of those are on the same team that they were on in 2018. Do you want a hint?
Kirk Cousins.
Yes, that is one.
Let's go. Is the last one hard or not, in your opinion?
It is all about the timeline, if you can get that sorted in your head, because it's really not that hard, but
Okay, I have a guess, but I'm gonna think a little bit more real quick. No, surely not. Okay, I have two guesses in between. I'm gonna
Okay.
go with my more bold one. Is it Ryan Tannehill?
See, that was my guess too. That was the one that I got wrong. I said Ryan Tannehill. Apparently, Marcus Mariota did start in, he started the 2018 season. So it wasn't Ryan. But for the sake of time,
Is it Lamar Jackson?
it was not Lamar. Lamar didn't start the 2018 season.
Oh, come on.
So it was Josh Allen.
Oh, it
Josh Allen did start in 2018.
That was his rookie year.
Yep, that was his rookie year. He did get knocked out of that game, and he did not play a few games during the middle of the season in 2018. But
Interesting. Okay.
yep, so Josh
Okay.
Allen, Dak Prescott, Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins are the only four quarterbacks still starting for their team that
You
they
know
were
what's
on in
crazy is,
2018.
yeah, Dak Prescott's the longest tenured starting quarterback in the NFL. I
That's
knew that one
wild.
because I have a lot of Cowboys friends, fans that are those,
But
but.
it was kind of funny because even in this like little Twitter thread that he was on, he was saying that I think it's supported that there has been less turnover at the running back position than there has been at the starting quarterback position since 2018. Like there
That
are
makes sense.
more running backs starting for the same team that they're on in 2018 than quarterbacks. Which I think is wild because you think of running backs as having kind of the most turnover at their position, but kind of interesting.
Josh Jacobs would be one.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs would probably, unless he's 2019.
Kamara.
Kamara, yeah.
Sorry, we can keep going. I was
Yeah.
just, dang, I can't believe, I was literally thinking Josh Allen, and I was like, no, he didn't start the first few games. And they threw him out there because whoever was there wasn't that good.
So fun little question to kick off the pod. It'd be kind of
Sounds
fun to
good.
run through all 11 of those guys that are still starting, but
That would take a
look,
while.
that would take a while. Let's not do that. Instead, let's get into some injuries and news from week four. It was definitely a better week as
Better.
far as injuries go. There were not as many injuries to report. However, there were a few to some big names that we probably need to run through. The first one, Leighton, I'm just going to go to you because it was your guy. Justin Herbert suffered a
Oh,
hand
yeah.
injury in the second half of the Chargers and Raiders game didn't appear to be a bad injury because it was to his non-throwing hand, but it was like a dislocated finger or something, and they had to put like a splint and a glove on it. So it was definitely impairing him from, you know, going under center and receiving a snap. He was taking everything in the shotgun. Even the victory formation at the end of the game was in shotgun. So, but he was still able to throw a few dimes out there late in the game.
Did you hear this quote when he was asked about it? This 2 days ago on Sunday, I think. Yeah, Sunday night after the game. A reporter asked him, how's your finger doing, you know, Justin? He said, it is but a scratch, just a flesh wound.
Ah, you gotta love that. Is that a Monty Python reference?
That is, but when he was asked if it was that or if he was just quoting Monty Python, Herbert said that was just a quote. So, that was hilarious.
He's kind of a nerd, I feel like.
Yeah.
Wait, you kind of drafted a nerd as your starting quarterback.
Well, that's okay, because I drafted the best nerd.
You did. Yep. So he definitely came back from that injury. I don't even know if he missed a play or a series. It kind of all happened when they were off the field.
He threw a pick, and his hand, like, got stepped on or something.
It got caught in a helmet. I don't know if you saw that.
I do not want to see that, but no.
It was gross, yeah. So I don't know if it got caught and then it got stepped on, but, yeah, he was, like, falling to the ground. His hand was stuck in somebody's helmet.
Oh, but basically they like wrapped it and he went out for the next series. But
yeah, so good to see that he's still healthy, but
good
yeah,
news
I don't,
is
yes.
They have a bye week this week. Yeah, yep. So he'll be back for next week.
That's probably good for a lot of Chargers. Always good to get Keenan rested up. Always good for Eckler coming off an injury to just kind of have one more week to get to feeling 100%. So the next injury, though, that we wanted to touch on was T. Higgins. That's a pretty serious one. I can't remember at what point of the game he went out, but it was, I think, during the first half. And
He only played 51% of the snaps.
So, yeah. First half, second half, but he went out. I actually don't have the injury listed.
He suffered a fractured rib.
Oh.
So he's probably going to miss a while, and then he'll probably put that, like, vest on. But it's not a good situation. Dude, the Bengals are bad. I'm just going to say it.
They're in a little bit of trouble. Their injuries are stacking up on them.
Yeah.
Which is not good. I mean, T. Higgins – everybody knows Jamar is kind of the guy in Cincinnati, but I think T. Higgins is – it's kind of a 1A, 1B in my opinion. Higgins is just as talented. Is this his contract year?
This is contract year.
Yeah. So this is tough. T. Higgins has not had a great start. Neither has Jamar necessarily. And they've got some issues.
Yeah, they said they wouldn't trade him. And he was a second-round pick, so he's not – not getting a fifth-year option, so he's going to be a true free agent after this season. He's probably not coming to the Chiefs, Nate. I know what you're thinking.
Get excited.
Oh, if we snatched him, because honestly, sidebar, if the Bengals pay, they already paid Burrow. They're going to pay Jamar. If they pay T. Higgins too, their team's a mess. So I have to let him go, which would also be great. So – Nate, you put this on here. So I also watched this game, obviously, because we just talked about it. But the Davante Adams one was weird. He, like, got hurt in, like, the first or second quarter, went in the locker room, is apparently a shoulder injury, came back in the game, and then kind of balled out in the second half.
Yeah.
Series he had, like, four catches.
He played 86% of the snaps.
Yeah.
But he missed a huge chunk of the game in the first half. I didn't know what happened. Like, I thought he was out for the rest of the game, you know, kept kind of refreshing all the fantasy apps, and he was never listed as questionable or, you know, doubtful to return. He was just in for a while. I guess his shoulder may have gotten, like, dislocated and they had to pop it in or got tweaked or something. But yeah, he came back, finished the game, played really well. So I don't think there's any real lingering concerns with that, but it was a little bit scary if you were holding Devontae and you see him step off. It's never a good sign, but I think all the news is positive right now for Devontae. Good. But another guy that left during the game last week was Mike Evans. Tampa Bay playing New Orleans, correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yep. Tampa Bay dominated New Orleans last week, despite Mike Evans missing pretty much the entire second half.
I don't think it mattered who they had at receiver. They were not scoring.
Yeah, they actually got a lot of contribution from some kind of lesser name guys than you would think.
Trey Palmer, Mike Evans, baby.
Yeah, Trey Palmer played really well. There's another guy, too, that had a couple explosive plays, but Evans did only play 37% of the snaps, caught all three of his targets for 40 yards. So I think he was on his way to kind of continuing the trend he'd started through the first 3 weeks, but injury kind of set him back a little bit. Luckily for Mike, also, much like Justin Herbert, he's got a bye in week 5. So I think that he's going to be okay after that. I guess he did get an MRI exam today. I don't know what that confirmed, but we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on Mike Evans, but probably a good thing that he's going to have an extra week plus to rest up.
If you guys have Mike Evans and there's a solid player to pick up, I would do that because I could see him missing the week after the bye. Just be safe, but you never know.
And then lastly, Javonte Williams. Layton, you want to talk about Javonte?
Yeah, so I still won, obviously, this past week. Put up 155, not trying to flex. But I tried to outthink the Devon Achane situation. So I didn't start him, and I started Javonte Williams because it was the Bears. And then he goes out in, like, the first quarter. So I think he was honestly getting set up for a good game because Jaleel McLaughlin had 10 touches on Sunday, 72 rushing yards, and 32 receiving yards with a touchdown. So that was basically all Javonte's. But he's considered day-to-day. I would not play him next week. I am not going to play him next week. So that's what I would suggest on that. But he should be fine in terms of season long.
Yep. So this is not injuries, but just some news. Guy we just kind of wanted to highlight, Alvin Kamara, who missed his first 3 weeks due to suspension, but came back for week 4, had a very solid week against the Bucks, despite from a fantasy point, he did, I think.
Dude, did you see
his stats? It was not very productive.
Did you see his whole stats?
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now, too. Bro. He had 11 attempts for 51 yards. You know, 4.6 per carry. That's not too bad.
It's fine.
He had 14 targets, 13 receptions for 33 yards.
Okay. So I was listening to a podcast, and that is a new record for the season low in terms of 13-plus catches in a game. In terms of yardage, that's the new historic low. 2.3 yards a catch. That's impressively bad. But Nate, what do you think the old record was for least amount of receiving yards with 13 or more catches?
It would have had to be, I mean, I think you would say it's probably about 4 yards per catch.
Okay.
So probably like 50 plus.
The old total was 76.
Wow.
So this record won't be broken anytime soon. But again, I agree with you, Nate. Very solid, kind of weird return, but you have to be feeling optimistic moving forward, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this has always been Kamara's game, is being kind of a receiving back. He's never been awfully productive on the ground. I think he's one of these we did it in the segment earlier, I think kind of in the preseason, that he'd never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. And so that's just kind of not really his game. I mean, he can be productive on the ground, but he's not the explosive player just getting the ball handed to him. He's kind of a pass-catching back. I think the we loved Kamara, and he kind of busted on the scene with Drew Brees, who was just feeding him the checkdowns constantly. I think it's, if you're a Kamara holder, it's good to see that Derek Carr is kind of implementing that as well. Never really thought. Could also
be because of his shoulder.
Yes, which is something to keep an eye on. Personally, I tried to take advantage of this today, and I'm going to try to keep taking advantage of it this week and move off Kamara as quickly as I can. I mean, I think he's only played one game. He went for 21 points. That's probably a top 5 week for running backs this week. And then Andy had 13 catches. So I think those are kind of some points you can hammer on. If you can sell him and get, you know, I mean, he's probably a running back 3 right now. You weren't probably playing with,
no,
you know, just some flyer for these first 3 weeks. So if you got him as your running back 3, you might have been. Yeah, I don't know what your situation is. But I think you can move off them and get a pretty nice like wide receiver, or package him with a wide receiver and get a huge upgrade at the position. It's always a little risky because Kamara is kind of a high ceiling guy, but I don't know. Do you kind of agree, or what are you thinking?
I'm honestly like holding him just because they're not really playing a good division. They probably played against the best defense in their division. He still put up 21 points. Is he going to get 14 targets a game? No. Chris Olave got 5 targets and 1 catch. That is a joke. So in terms of – sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. In terms of future production, I think he could still average something around like 18 to 20 per week. It just is not going to look like this. Like, he had to be historically bad in receiving yard. And
it's good to know, too, that this was a bad game, too, for the Tech or for the Saints. I mean, they didn't really have that many scoring opportunities. So, yeah, I mean,
and the one nugget that sticks out the most from his first game back, he's out there 75% in your first game back. That's a huge deal to me. And especially the next games are against New England, Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis, and then Chicago, Minnesota. I would only be worried about maybe one of those games, and that's the Patriots. Every other game, they should be doing just fine. So,
I think, one more point to kind of back up your argument of holding him is Jamal Williams is still hurt, and he's on IR. So, I mean, their next guy up is Kendry. Yeah, Kendry Miller, Tony Jones. So I think you could – yeah, honestly, I think it might be a good move to just hold him for a while.
But
if you're not able to sell high.
Yeah, if people are willing to give you something good, then definitely go for it. Because
yeah,
I think Derek Carr's shoulder should be better next week, so they should throw the ball down the field more, kind of expand the offense. Olave will get involved again. Honestly, if you know somebody who's trying to move off of Olave, go take advantage of that, because I think he's going to be still good. But yes, I agree with everything you basically said.
So there were some people that we wanted to touch on that are expected to come back this week. So these are some positive lines that we wanted to talk about. But
I wanted to do this because I wanted to touch on them. And I wanted to ask, one, if you would trade for them, and two, what you think it would cost to get them, especially for two of them. So let's start with Saquon Barkley. Should come back for the Giants. Been out like 2.5 weeks. And he's obviously doing very well beforehand. But as you can tell by the past couple weeks, the Giants look horrendous without him there. Like, it's pathetically bad. So should be a boost to honestly all of the Giants offense. But Nate, I know you're probably not trading for him, but what would you accept, or what would you try to do or try to offer to get him on your team as of now?
So I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody that owns Saquon Barkley. So Saquon, you probably spent a first round pick on him, or maybe early second. I think for the most part, he was going first round. So you're kind of building your team around him. Saquon goes down early this season, which is a huge loss. If you split the couple weeks that he was out, that's really good. I'd say a lot of people probably dropped those 2 weeks. that he was absent. And you're probably suffering from running back depth as well. So I think the idea of him coming back now and being rosterable and healthy on your team is very exciting, because you're not having to deal with that headache of trying to plug the holes in your, you know, roster as far as running backs go. So I think if you were trying to get Saquon Barkley, I think anybody's going to be wanting some kind of running back piece in return. I think Saquon Barkley has got to be a 2-for-1 type of deal. You've got to supply a running back and a wide receiver to get him. I think like a running back, maybe like somebody that's been like pretty productive this year, but maybe even has like some upside to their game that people like, you could go with like, if I had Joe Mixon right now, I would probably be trying to move off of him. And I think his name carries quite a bit of weight. So if you were able to pair like a Joe Mixon and help me out, Amari Cooper is a really good one. Yeah. Joe Mixon, Amari Cooper, like that might be a lot for you who owns Joe Mixon, Amari Cooper. That might be tough to move off of, because that's probably your running back 2 or running back 1 and wide receiver 2. But you get a clear positional advantage with Saquon Barkley. Even like,
and you get a roster spot.
I wouldn't really be looking to trade Calvin Ridley right now. Because I don't think he's carrying as much weight as he probably could. I think give him 2 more weeks and he's probably going to get at least one more blow up game under his belt, where he might be a better piece to move on then. But yeah, I think you got to package it. It's got to be like a Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, even like James Cook right now, who's been pretty solid. I mean, James Cook's probably somebody I'd want to move off of if you're able to get a decent deal for him. He's like running back 14 right now. He's been kind of steady. Or like James Conner or somebody like that. So that's probably what I would be doing. I think that one example that we threw out there, if I had Saquon Barkley, I might be kind of licking my chops at that.
Exactly. So the other two guys, obvious high draft capital, Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp. Both. Well, actually, Jonathan Taylor is, we don't know if he's coming back. Cooper Kupp is definitely coming back, I think. I tried to trade for Cooper Kupp, didn't go very well. But do you think he just walks right back into his role? Because I'm personally a little worried with the rise of Puka. And Kyren Williams is balling out. Matthew Stafford looks good. I don't think they have to rely on him so much anymore. Obviously, I still think he'll be good, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if the question is, does Cooper Kupp like get back to what he was projected to be? He's probably pretty close to it, I think. I don't think he's probably in the realm of like Tyreek and like those top 4 or 5 guys yet. But I think he's easily top 10. Like I think he and Puka can both survive as top 10 receivers on the same team. As much as the Rams want to throw the ball, as good as Matthew Stafford is at just getting it in the hands of his playmakers, I think he'll be fine. Unfortunately, it probably is a little bit too late to trade Cooper Kupp. If you can find somebody that has him that is worried about the Puka situation, you might be able to capitalize on it. I don't know, Leighton, do you have anybody in mind that you would be willing to trade for Cooper Kupp? Or do you think like something that might get accepted?
Well, I was trying to do this earlier. I tried to trade Chris Olave for Cooper Kupp like a week or two ago. That didn't go anywhere. But that guy's team is also not very good. So I honestly don't. I just don't know what you'd offer. Like, if you want to try to swing like a Mike Evans, somebody who's maybe overperforming a little bit, you could do that. But it's probably not going to happen. If they've waited this long, they're going to throw him out there. So same thing, I think, with the next guy, Jonathan Taylor.
I would say possibly. I don't know what you think about this. Maybe like Amon-Ra for Cooper Kupp. I don't know if somebody that has Cooper Kupp would want him, but I think if I had Amon-Ra right now, you could do Amon-Ra and just like a depth piece or something that like kind of tickles their fancy a little bit. Like maybe you could get a deal done, but Amon-Ra so far this year is he's top 17. Is he a 17? I have him at 11.
Oh, I was looking at there.
He's something up there, but he's had a pretty good start to the season, but you've got Jameson Williams coming back this week or next. So, I mean, like if you could, I mean, Amon-Ra is kind of a guy that a lot of people like really love. He's got kind of like a big following around him. Guys always, if you love Amon-Ra, you want him in every league.
I was thinking about his points per game, Nate.
Oh, yeah. 17 points per game.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, like, you might be able to get Amon-Ra and somebody over to him for Cooper Kupp. If that's going to get accepted, I would probably do that. I think that's a clear upgrade, in my opinion. But
I agree. Actually, I'd hang on Amon-Ra. I would hold Amon-Ra, probably.
You would?
I think so. Depends what your team looks like, of course, with all these. But the one that I think that's probably most interesting is Jonathan Taylor, Nate, because you have Zach Moss, and I know our main league.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a couple others, too. I don't know what to think, honestly. He's like the one guy when people ask me what my thoughts are, I don't know. Literally no idea.
I don't know if we've gotten like an affirmative on what he's going to do this week. Like it seems like he's
still practicing, but that was it.
I don't think he like wants to play for them still. I think there's still some kind of bad feelings towards the Colts organization from Jonathan Taylor's camp. So I don't really know what to make of the situation.
Great. So Nate, as somebody, I mean, you have Zach Moss, I know in our main league I know you've been talking off air about trying to move him. Does that are you trying to trade for Jonathan Taylor? Or are you just kind of keeping Zach Moss and hoping Jonathan Taylor doesn't come back anytime soon? Because I don't think he's going to play this upcoming week. They start practicing today.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of the situation. I definitely was trying to move off Zach Moss, just kind of anticipating the return of Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty popular mindset, though. People knowing that Jonathan Taylor is going to come back, knowing that once he does, Zach Moss is pretty much worthless. But I just think it's hard to really predict what Jonathan Taylor is going to look like when he comes back, if he comes back, when he comes back. So I think there's just a lot of things, a lot of variables that pose a lot of risk as well. I am not trying to trade for Jonathan Taylor. I don't think I'd really recommend that many people do because of kind of the murkiness of the situation. I think anybody that's held him for this long and has kind of stowed him away on their IR, they're probably very excited for him to get back and be, you know, the top five running back that they remember him being. So I think you're going to have to pay way too much for him with anybody that owns him. If you have him, I think keep him probably, unless somebody's willing to pay a pretty good premium. I would probably keep him, plan on him not starting this week. So if somebody's offering you like a pretty good running back and you're in need of a starter for this upcoming week, I would take it. Honestly, don't take it at a discount, but don't expect the premium, I guess. I mean,
not going to get a premium.
You shouldn't. If somebody's willing to give you one, absolutely. If it's a fair trade if you can put yourself in reality that Jonathan Taylor just is what he is right now, I would probably try to move off them if you could.
That's fair. So, Nate, this is your idea mostly, but you want to talk about the positional leaders through 4 weeks and just kind of analyze it, see what it should be like going forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, yeah, we jotted down kind of the top five at each of the main skill positions through 4 weeks. There's definitely been some surprises Some of these
Just wait
positional
for the
groups
running back.
did not look how I anticipated them looking. So it's been
You,
really interesting.
Nate, you don't have to say just yourself. Nobody. Nobody.
No.
If once we get
Yeah.
to the running back and tight end, no, nobody had would have thought that. So
Yeah.
should we get started with the quarterbacks first with a
Yeah, I think let's
little
get
sanity?
quarters. I think, yeah, so what we wanted to do here was highlight, I guess, give some recognition to the guys that have played well through 4 weeks, but also kind of just talk about how we might see them trending over the next 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, as well as how we see these positional groups kind of just develop and transpire. You're going to notice that there are a lot of big names that are not included in these lists that are, it's probably just a matter of time before they kind of inch in there. So, yeah, the first group, quarterback group, we've got Herbert, who's quarterback one so far. Josh Allen is two. Jordan Love is number three.
Also, this is 4 point per touchdown, by the way.
Correct. Yes. 4 point per touchdown pass. Jordan Love is third, Lamar is fourth, and Jalen Hurts is fifth. So, Leighton, did you anticipate the quarterback room looking anything like this? The top five quarterback list.
I mean, if you throw out Jordan Love and put anybody else in there, I don't think I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Maybe a little surprised that Herbert's won, but it's been 4 weeks, so not really. This actually reminded me, that's why I was on my phone, Nate. I just sent out a trade offer. I'm trying to go trade for Patrick Mahomes if somebody's feeling a little iffy, and especially if they're not on a good team. I offered David Montgomery for Patrick Mahomes, by the way. Probably get shot
I
down.
hope that got rejected.
It will probably get shut down, but we'll see. You got to start somewhere. His running backs are bad. But yeah, so I would go try to trade for Mahomes if you can. It's probably going to be hard. But honestly, outside of Jordan Love, I don't know if there's a ton of surprises. If somebody's offering something for Jordan Love, I would take it. But other than that, I don't think there's any real surprises. Do you have anything else to touch on the quarterbacks with, or?
No, not really. I mean, I think the quarterbacks out of just about any position will
The
shape out
most,
how we
yeah,
expected
it's
them
the most
to.
predictable position to pick.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So,
Now, what's not predictable, Nate?
is these running backs. Holy
Oh,
cow.
man.
So, running
Go for it.
backs through 4 weeks so far. I believe these are listed in order, but we've
They are.
got obviously Christian McCaffrey, number one, head and shoulders above the rest of the running back group, head and shoulders above the rest of the, I guess,
Fantasy
skill
world?
positions like wide receiver and tight end. Yeah,
No,
head and
above
shoulders
everybody.
above. So, Christian McCaffrey, unbelievable. Raheem Mostert is running back two.
Woo!
Nobody saw that coming. I would like to figure out what his ADP was to start the season. I don't know if you're able to figure that out, Leighton, but
Dude, it was like the ninth round. I'll look it up, but
I
it's gonna
know it
depress
was.
me.
I think everybody out there is kicking themselves for that.
He
Number
was going
three.
127 in sleeper.
Pain. Number three, Kyren Williams, running back on the Rams. Number
He was
four.
undrafted.
That's unreal. Number four, Devin Achane. I got that
He was
right.
also undrafted.
He was definitely undrafted. Number five, Kenneth Walker.
Fourth
Kind
round
of
pick.
a controversial pick, I feel like, to a lot of people when they were going through it, especially with the addition of Zach Charbonnet. Leighton, you just held up your hand. I was in the same boat. I was kind of fading Kenneth Walker, but he's an unbelievable player. I mean, I think somebody
Why?
said it on the Monday Night Football broadcast. I guess that would have been last night for us as we're recording, but they were talking. They were like, Kenneth Walker is the best player on the football field tonight. So that's like with Saquon Barkley out, but like it's kind of hard to argue. Kenneth Walker was the best player, I think, and
Yeah.
has been through 4 weeks. So,
I just don't get what's the point of drafting a running back in the second round just for him not to play. It's okay. sidebar, but
I honestly think, just touching on that, because I think that's interesting. I think that with Pete Carroll, like the running game is such a central point of their whole like team philosophy. And they've experienced so many running back injuries in the past, like past 3 years. You can think of like Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, like those guys that just keep getting beat up and they just got to roll out like DJ Dallas 1 week. Like, I think
That's
they,
true, but
more
like,
than any other franchise, really, they are. I'm not surprised that they're spending so much on the running back position. I don't necessarily agree with it. Running backs are pointless. So,
ooh, he said it. Besides Christian McCaffrey
besides Christian McCaffrey,
and Bijan
yes.
Robinson, they are worthless,
Yes.
yes.
But you can find Isaiah Pacheco's in the seventh round sometimes.
Well, if you have the
So,
best GM in football, but shall we move on to the wide receiver?
well, let's talk about the running back position. I mean,
Okay.
where do you see this group moving at all? I mean, like, who do you think out of these five guys that we named, who stays in the conversation at top five?
Christian
I would agree. Are there any others?
No.
I mean, so.
Well, maybe. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I know we make a podcast, we do our research, we follow this stuff. I have no idea what to do with Raheem Mostert. What am I going to trade? Like, is anybody really going to trade like Chris Olave for Raheem Mostert? No. So you're just kind of like stuck with him, and it's not bad because he's really good. Just kind of enjoy the ride, I guess. Same with Achan. He's a stud. Kyren Williams, not going anywhere. He might get less volume with Coop with Cup coming back, but the only thing that I could see happening is like Austin Ekeler coming back, Saquon coming back, Aaron Jones getting ramped up, and all those guys just outproduce them. And these guys, take a little step back. Outside injury, I don't see them, any of these guys, besides Mostert. Mostert's probably the one I'm most concerned about, but all the other three running backs, they're probably going to get consistent volume. I mean, Achane was out there for 60% of the snaps against the Bills, so
I'm
that was
kind of
just
a
before.
I'm kind of a Kyren truther. I think he's definitely got the potential. He doesn't have the name weight as some of these other guys, but I mean, I think he is in a position where if he doesn't get hurt and they don't trade for anybody or sign anybody, like I think he is going to be a dog the rest of the year. Like you said, obviously some of his, I think, passing target share or receiving target share is going to kind of go away once Kupp comes back. He's really benefited from being a favorite target of Matt Stafford through 4 weeks. He's gotten a lot of touches through the air. So I think that goes away a little bit, but I still think he's a really good player, which is kind of a big thing. And
Yes.
I think they like to run the ball when it's a goal to go situation as well. So I think you got to like that for Kyren. Kenneth Walker, maybe. I think Devin Achane has a better chance of staying in the top five than Mostert. I think just you kind
Yes.
of lean on the younger guys. The season goes on. Raheem Mostert, the
He's
joints
gotten
start
injured.
aching. He's
Yeah.
kind of injury prone. He's old. He's like 31 or 32. So I don't know if you can keep it up for 17 game season, but we will just have to see. I was also just an idea that I was thinking about. I think something that we could start doing as we kind of hit these like little checkpoints throughout the season. So like we're through 4 weeks. Something we could start doing is kind of projecting certain positional like top fives or tens for the next 4 weeks. So just split it
Okay.
up into like a chunk of the season. So like an idea is like from like week five through week eight. It's so hard to project it for the rest of the
Okay, yeah.
NFL regular season, but
I'm
it's
following.
maybe easier to zone in on like matchups for certain players over the next 4 weeks and kind of focus on that and just be like, hey, maybe these are guys that you can target for, the next, quarter of the season or so. And
That's how NFL teams do it, so I don't hate that idea. I like it.
I don't know if you like that, but I mean, that might be kind of a way to just,
You like
it's
that?
you're there's a It's a lot of information to consume. and process and predict. So if you can
Yeah, it's hard to
make it as
fit that
simple
all
as
in there.
possible. Yeah.
Also some guy we didn't mention because he's on a bye week, but Austin Eckler. Go trade for him if you can. I think he's gonna ball out.
Oh yeah. Pay more than you think you probably would have to.
For sure.
I mean, I think it'll still be worth it, but so sorry we got sidetracked, but let's move on to wide receivers. We've got this has been a pretty competitive room so far through 4
Extremely.
weeks. And there's not much separation between any of them. So Justin Jefferson is wide receiver 1, Keenan Allen is wide receiver 2,
The goat.
Tyreek is wide receiver 3,
No, he's
Puka
not.
Nacua wide receiver 4, and Stephon Diggs is wide receiver 5. These guys are balling out right now. It's been a little bit different from everybody. Justin Jefferson has been so consistent from like 24 to 27 points every week. He's been really solid. Keenan Allen has had a
My
couple
guy.
just massive blow-up games. Kind of had a quieter game last week, but still. It was fine. Wasn't really going to lose you any weeks. Tyreek has been kind of a roller coaster as well.
He always
Puka's
is,
been,
though.
yeah, he always is. I mean, that's kind of what you get, Tyreek. You can get 50 points out of him, but you're probably not going to get worse than 10 or 12. Puka, been very solid. Stephon Diggs is coming on strong. He had a huge week last week. Yeah.
He was
I don't.
smoking.
He was unbelievable. Yeah. So, this is maybe one of the groups that I could see all these guys honestly maybe staying in the top five. I think
Puka's not
Puka is
staying.
the one to go for me.
He's gone.
But I mean, if I'm taking Puka or the field, I'm taking the field. But like, I can't really think of anybody really that is going to overtake Justin Jefferson, Keenan, Tyreek, or Diggs, barring injury.
I keep my eye on AJ Brown.
Yeah.
He just had a blow-up game against the Commanders. I'm just
You
saying.
know what that means? Means
What?
Devontae Smith is probably gonna have a blow-up game next week.
I don't
That
know.
is,
Just
I
saying.
know, I think it's hard with the Eagles. I wish I knew what AJ Brown finished last year as a wide receiver, but
Got it. Also,
I think
Devontae
those,
Adams.
yeah, Devontae Adams. If you can get Aiden O'Connell off the field, I really like Devontae Adams'
AJ
chances.
Brown was the wide receiver 6 last year.
So it can be done. It can be done.
It can be done.
I'd like to see a little
And
more from the Eagles.
hang on.
They're,
That see, so that's the reason why I say to look out for him. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because he has 82.4 fantasy points over the course of this season, right? I'm just going to times that by 4 to, I know they play another game, but to make math easier. So if he plays 16 games at the pace he's currently doing, he will finish with 330 fantasy points roughly. Last year, as the wide receiver 6, he had 300 fantasy points. So
So you're saying call this a slow start for AJ Brown, but this is he's on pace to beating a wide receiver 6 season.
basically, yeah. Well, right, at this pace, I guess with everybody else, he's still projected wide receiver 8. But I mean, if you look at the first 2 weeks, it just wasn't, 15 was fine. Minnesota, you're like, really only 7? But he also dropped a touchdown. And then he was like 1 foot out of bounds on another big touchdown. So, and then the next few weeks, they have the Rams, Jets, Dolphins, Commanders. He just torched the Commanders, so I'm not worried. The Jets, I think he can go off against all these teams. So I'm definitely still high on it. He probably has a harder schedule, but for as poor of a start as he did to be wide receiver 8, and with how poor I think the Eagles look, like you said, that's what kind of gives me confidence for him moving forward. Because like Devontae, for example, has had a better year, but is anybody really excited about the Raiders offense moving forward? So I don't know. Just something to keep in mind. That's my guy. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is a name, wide receiver 21. Can't possibly do worse, but it's also the Bengals, so you never know.
Yeah. And then the last and most irrelevant group, as Leighton like to say.
I never said that on air.
the tight ends. Leighton, I'm going to let you do this one because I know this is your favorite.
Yep. All right. So coming in at number one, we have TJ Hockenson. Wait for it. Averaging through 4 weeks, a whopping 13.8 points.
Boop, boop.
Ooh, and that's with two touchdowns. And it's just so bad. Wide receiver, tight end two is the next great thing. Sam Laporta, who has 13.1 fantasy points a game. Cole Kmet, he's tight end three because of last week because he had 27 fantasy points. So high if he can. Evan Ingram is tight end four. And then Mark Andrews is tight end four. So
there will be some movement in this group, I think.
Yeah, so how I see it finishing, either Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce, one or two. TJ Hockenson, three. Honestly, I think Sam Laporta could be four. And then after that, you have Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry. It's kind of whoever's feeling it on that week is, I guess, what you could go with. Nate, I'm going to pass it to you. I just don't have anything else to talk about.
Well, I don't either. So I think we can move off this one to our next segment, Lock of the Weeks. I don't really want to go back over last week's performance, but
no,
I think
we have to do it. We have to for the people.
You go, Leighton. You go. You seem so chipper right now.
I'm chipper. Undefeated in the main league. And the fact, last week, I took Seahawks plus 1.5, but I said you should take the money line. Guess what? They smoked the Giants.
We were both on this one. We loved this. Leighton and I, we caught it early last week. We caught it when it was Seahawks plus 1.5. It was a rat line. It ended up moving to Seahawks minus two, I think. Once game kicked off, it was minus 1.5 or two. So that is a huge value of when we got it. So that was great. Seahawks was a lock. I was not so lucky with my pick. It was all luck. Nothing that I could have ever controlled.
Nature's Green Bay plus 1.5 at home versus the Lions.
You know,
Nate, how'd that go?
It did not go good. it went very poorly, actually. So that was a bad game. It was not a good game. Never really had a chance. They were out of it the whole time. Like, it was not close.
Shout out to Josh. He tried to warn us, and he is now not an intern anymore. So
he's not an intern.
Should we?
The intern has become the master. The master has become the coffee boy.
should we talk about this upcoming week, Nate? I think you should go first as the redeeming lock of the week. Please take the floor is yours.
Well, I've still been trying to work on this a little bit.
The floor is mine.
See how
then.
Prepared I am. Yeah, Leighton, okay. Why don't you go?
So I'm taking the Ravens minus four against the Steelers. I think that's hashtag guaranteed money because the Steelers are bad. Kenny Pickett hurt his knee, but he still might play, which would make him worse. And then if he doesn't play, they have Mitch Trubisky, which is also worse. So I think that's a slam dunk. Another one I really like, I know it's a lot of points. Dolphins minus 11 is it's another one I'm eyeing because the Giants are awful.
Yes.
Nate, did I give you enough time?
Yeah, I think so. I actually have to look this up real quick because I thought I had one, but I may.
Which one did you think it was?
So I was going to say, I told you late and I didn't like it. I said that I liked the Jets plus two this week, but I'm not doing that because I thought the win, when I looked this up on DraftKings, It said that the Jets were playing at home against the Broncos. That is not
they
true.
Not.
They are on the road against the Broncos. So I'm not doing that. So I'm going to go to an AFC rival. I'm going to take the Bengals -3 on the road You're at the high. Cardinals. I think this is backs against the wall for the Bengals. I think if they're definitely not giving up on the season yet, they came off an embarrassing loss to the Titans last week. I think if they have any hope of trying to make the playoffs, which I think, I mean, coming into the season, they were probably one of the top four Super Bowl favorites, top five Super Bowl favorites. I think they don't want to give up on that quite yet. So backs against the wall. I think they bring their A game against the Cardinals. I think they figure out a way to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. I think the defense shows up. I've been really impressed too with the Cardinals so far this year. But
Cardinals are good.
I think it's just a do or die situation for Cincinnati, and I kind of think they get it done.
So you know that stat about quarterbacks who go to the Super Bowl the first time and lose? How, like, the past 10 losing Super Bowl quarterbacks have never gone back or something like that?
Hmm.
Notice how Joe Burrow and the Bengals are doing after they lost. And I know they're 4-0, but the Eagles do look worse. The record is inflated, which if they were playing anybody this week besides the – who are they playing this week? Oh, the Rams. I would maybe be – I'm hoping the Eagles get to win, so that way I can – we can look towards next week because I think they could. They're due for a loss, for sure. For sure.
Yep. So I think that's what it's going to be for us. I wish we had John's lock.
Yeah, let's close it out.
But that is...
John, his lock, you know, he actually phoned it in.
Yeah.
He told me he didn't actually, but he told me he was taking the – just trying to find the worst one.
No, he actually gave us a lock. He told us. He put his name on it. He wants the Cowboys plus 3.5 against the 49ers.
He's dumb.
Oh, we can.
If he's
can,
listening, he'll text me and tell me I'm wrong.
We can pencil John in for that one, but I honestly, I wasn't that far off with him on that. I probably lean towards the Cowboys, but
you guys are smoking.
There's a reason we're not touching that. So,
not at all.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for us. I think, Layton, any closing
you gotta go
thoughts?
Watch your show. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We definitely a lot unorganized. We're just both really excited to go watch the Ahsoka finale tonight. So,
oh yeah,
that's probably what we'll be doing. But we appreciate you guys as always. Follow us on X, Twitter. We do still have an Instagram, but we don't do much because Instagram's dumb. But we are more active on Twitter, X. So be sure to follow us there. Fantasy_chumps. Follow the podcast to get more. And everybody, good luck in this upcoming weekend.
Thanks, guys.